Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Facebook is facing yet another crisis. Leaked documents reported by the Wall Street Journal show the social media giant prioritized engagement and profits over stopping harmful content and misinformation. The whistleblower behind these documents is Frances Haugen. Here she is on 60 Minutes on CBS last night.
Facebook has realized that if they change the algorithm to be safer, people will spend less time on the site, they'll click on less ads, they'll make less money.
Haugen will testify before a Senate committee on Capitol Hill tomorrow. Let's talk more about what we've been learning from Facebook with Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
Well, the Wall Street Journal's reporting revealed a slew of very serious problems at Facebook in this regard. What are some of the big takeaways here?
Well, three of the biggies are, number one, Facebook knew that Instagram was harming teenage girls, worsening body image issues among that demographic. Number two, it allowed high-profile users, celebrities, to bend and often break various rules on the platform without equal treatment, like bullying, harassment, trafficking in conspiracy theories. If a so-called normal person did some of this stuff, they might be suspended from the account, suspended from the app. But if a famous person, like a famous soccer player or politician, engaged in the same behaviors, they'd be allowed to stay on the account. And finally, they allowed vaccine misinformation to run rampant. So those are three of the big revelations that came from the Facebook files that the Wall Street Journal reported on.
What do we know about the whistleblower, the main whistleblower, who provided these documents with these damning allegations? What do we know about this person that has spoken up?
Yeah, Frances Haugen. She's 37, a data scientist from Iowa. She's got a degree in computer science from Harvard. And she'd worked at Google and Pinterest before Facebook. So she's been around at several different social media apps before she worked as a product manager at Facebook. Her job there was to protect against electoral interference. But over time, she grew disaffected with the company. And after a few months or a year, she started to copy documents and ended up secretly copying tens of thousands of pages of Facebook research. And her thesis here, the thesis of the information that she documented and sent along to the Wall Street Journal and others, is that the company is essentially lying to the public about its efforts to keep misinformation off the platform and essentially be running an equal democracy for its users. So she quits Facebook this May. She shared all this private research with the Wall Street Journal. And the Facebook files is this big feature that the Wall Street Journal has been slowly trickling out until Frances herself spoke with 60 Minutes last night.
Facebook claims that it has tried to stop the spread of misinformation on its platforms, but these documents show that understaffing stifled those efforts. What are the consequences here for Facebook, legal and otherwise, if this is allowed to continue?
I'm not sure we know what the consequences are yet. You know, the cliche is that Facebook is a little bit like the Wild West. I think the cliche is apt here because we're somewhat writing the rules as we're watching the crimes. In fact, we aren't even sure if they are crimes a lot of the time, even as we're watching what upset us or make us feel outraged. So the legal consequences here are absolutely a work in progress. What we do know is that Facebook has built a platform for global speech that is very, very difficult to police on an interaction-by-interaction basis. There are just billions and billions of interactions, and you just need tens of millions of people spending their entire time just watching other people Facebook chat at each other, Instagram at each other, or WhatsApp at each other all day long. It's very, very difficult in that situation to catch everything. So, for example, one of the conclusions from the documentation that Frances leaked is that Facebook, quote, actions no more than 3 to 5% of hate and no more than 0.6% of violence and incitement on the platform, even though they probably spend more money on resources in order to police interactions on social media. So essentially what you see here is that if you build a platform for people to talk to each other, you're essentially building an amplification technology for people to be terrible at each other, which makes it very difficult to police the inevitable terribleness that is happening on this app. Mm.
Well, an 11-year-old told Facebook researchers that the platform is for, quote, old people. And yet the company is still heavily invested in targeting children. What does that suggest to you about Facebook's declining relevance?
Well, I think this quote puts a finger on exactly the bind that Facebook is in. If you could say that a company this valuable and popular is in a bind. On the one hand, Facebook sees that it needs to bring younger people onto the site and create a site that is compulsive. At the same time, whenever they are faced with an issue, they have to choose between, I think, maintaining the popularity and virality of the site and doing something that seems ethical. And they often seem to be choosing to maintain the virality and popularity of the site. The New York Times' Kevin Roos, I thought, put it pretty well. He said that one way to think about their problems is that they come in sort of two primary flavors. On the one hand, Facebook has problems caused by having too many users, just like I spoke about. This is an amplification machine for billions of interactions among individuals that are not perfect angels and are going to be terrible at each other. At the same time, it really needs to build an audience, and it's finding it hard to do so, I think, in an ethical way.
Derek Thompson is a staff writer at The Atlantic. Derek, thank you. And we note that Facebook is a financial sponsor of NPR.